Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Hallelujah. Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to the Global Vision for Living Today's show. Now, what are we going to talk about? Well, one, two, here it is, part three of what does God want me to do with my life? And don't come on here clapping and raising hands talking about, well, what God are you talking about? You know exactly what God we're talking about. Psalm 83:18. And since our category for our shows, every one of them, almost 200, is the Bible. We're going to come from a biblical standpoint because of Jeremiah 10:23 says, it does not belong to man who is walking upright to direct his own steps. So really, in reality, we're only interested in what God wants us to do with my life. You done tried everything. You've been everywhere. Everybody about everything that you think might help your life. And guess what? Nothing has worked. So right now, since I have seen and I have felt, and everybody's telling me everything you're doing, you know, it isn't working. You're on the wrong side of living. You ought to go get some counseling. Oh, my God, you belong in therapy. Hold your horses. Because if the creator, the one that created you, can't help you, you are doomed personified. So right now, we see, what does God want me to do with my life? We see that beyond the shadow of a doubt, there's no one else to go to. There's no one else to reach out to or call out to but the God of the universe, the one that says, I alone are the Most High God over all the earth. So guess what? We hear you calling out for help in your life. We see world events and the challenges of the day, leaving everyone bewildered and thinking that their life is not worth living. Teen suicide rates are up. Women's suicide rates are up. Men's suicide rates are up. And that's why we have our dear friend, Colonel William Harrison. He is also a PhD, and you know, you guys ask. And he is also the presiding minister of Second Union Baptist Church on the East Coast, D.C. area. Colonel Harrison, are you with us this morning?
Yes, I am, Dr. Capuccino. Good morning to you and the listening audience, and glad to be with you again for this episode.
I sure hope so, because people are showing that, hey, they don't know what to do with their life. So right now, guess what? They're calling out to this higher power, this higher source, the one that says, me, myself, and I alone, I are the Most High God. So if we have a problem, you know what? It only makes good common sense, you know, if we still have any, to call out to the one that has made that proclamation. And that, of course, is said in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. So that means everything in it, everything in our constellation, everything in our solar system. And that means you, and that means I. So, Colonel Harrison, let's just jump right into this. People are bewildered. They're doing all sorts of things. The police is saying, jail the fool. Say, we pick up one more. He's going to have to ride around laying down in the back of the squad car for his arrestation. We don't have any more room in the jails. Prisons are full. What seems to be the problem? Is that showing that people know what to do with their lives?
Yes, there is confusion, Dr. Capuccino, listening audience, with regards to people not knowing what to do with their lives. Life is unique and is simple. Life consists of instructions, living a certain kind of way. In order to live a certain kind of way, a certain type of way, we have to have instructions. We work a job, we receive verbal instructions, or we see written instructions. The same with life. The creator of life has given us instructions. The instructions are written thousands of years ago in a book called The Bible, and it's a blueprint. It's an outline of how we are to live our lives, because God wants us to live our lives to and for his purpose, to serve him and to and for his purpose. And so the disconnect is that people apparently don't know who the Jehovah 8318 God is. And so the disconnect is they don't have the instructions. They don't have the blueprint. They need the blueprint. They need the instructions. And they need to know who wrote the blueprint and who wrote the instructions, who is God Jehovah.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm going to jump right in here with both feet, because you are certainly right, and you certainly hit it on the nail head. But now let's, as my father used to say, let's make it plain. Now, who has been charged from the beginning of time with talking to and leading and expounding anything that God has to say? Scripture says, and God appeared unto him, and God spoke to this one, and God from heaven sent his prophets, sent his people. Who has been in charge of helps from God? Who has been in charge with leading God's collective people? I'm all the way back to the 12 tribes of Israel and coming up to 2022. Has there been a voice crying out in the wilderness, and we know it has, to help man with any instructions from God? He has always had a voice from the very beginning of time, from the very beginning of his existence, because we know no one's just going to wake up and say, oh, okay, you know, I think I'm going to learn something about God. Oh, okay, 66 books, and they can't get through one if they don't know how to read and write. I just found out millions right now, 2022, don't know how to read or write. God has always had a witness. So can we say that a witness has been out there on the streets, sidewalks, highways, byways, in an attempt to teach man what God wants them to do with their life, so that they might, as you mentioned, live a happy life, a decent life, a life worth living? Because we know even now in our time, 2022, no one's getting up, walking down. You know what? I haven't seen nobody walk down the street of the Bible in years. On my way to church, I see some people standing on corners. But we know that divine edict was for one or more people or prophets out there talking to people and expounding on God's law. How you going to know? How you going to know anything? Even Philip in the chair, well, how am I going to know anything without a teacher? So can we safely say that these teachers and those were appointed, they were appointed. His son said, I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you, and I'm going to choose you. Many are called, but few are chosen. So what can we say about people not really knowing what to do with their life? The life giver had a plan. The life giver has given mankind a blueprint for how he would want a person to live their life, so that they would be empowered to please the mighty God. He says, I am God Almighty. That's really a clue to what God wants mankind to do with their life. Worship, love him, behold him. Colonel, what about these people supposedly designated to teach men and women? Do we see a lot of that, or we don't?
No, we don't see a lot of it present day, Dr. Capitina, listening audience. The teacher. Because in the beginning, God's son taught 12 men, and those 12 men taught others. And so there's a lack of teachers to teach others what God wants us to do and how he wants us to live our lives. That's where the void
right.
is. We got to fill that void. We got to fill that gap. And I must amend one religious affiliation or one religious denomination that has done this historically since they have been in existence. That's Jehovah's Witness, and I'm open to all religious denominations, but I just wanted to use them as an example, because they knocked on the doors of people, residents and apartment buildings and businesses to witness to people and teach them what the Word of God says. And so we are missing that, and therefore we have the void, and many now are ignorant of who God is and who God's Son is because of the lack of teachers being available today.
That is so true, Colonel Dr. Harrison. Now, you know, I've got to really say that you hit it on the nail, because things have gotten so bad now, no one even wants to hear anything about God. Yeah, there was a time when there was what the Bible says, an acceptable time, where men were open to hearing about God and finding out how God wanted man to live, and finding out what God wanted man to even react to when it comes to the Bible and Scripture. It was a time when people didn't say, well, is it really so? If the Bible was open and they knew that was the Word of God, they knew it, because you could trace the Bible all the way back to centuries. They knew that. But right now, you have a collective group that is going to land. They don't want to hear about the Bible. They don't want anyone else to hear about the Bible. They don't want to do what the Bible says, even if they can read. In fact, God, get out of my life. You are messing with my lifestyle. You are messing with my thoughts. You are messing with how I want to live my life. We see that that is a 2022. So what is the remedy when people are going to and fro, and you can look at them and tell that, you know what, God has not looked into their window or their door and says, okay, get up and get out of there. This is what I want you to do. God does have a plan. God does have a blueprint for each and every one of us, no matter what our age, no matter what our occupation, no matter what part of the region we live in, no matter anything. Yes, if you are living with 2 feet, two hands, or if you're just living, breathing, period, let me skip that. Let me cut through the chase. God really does have a plan for your life. Colonel Harrison, how would a person besides people coming to teach them weekly Bible studies free? Don't give me a dime for my gas. Right now, right where a person is at, what are some of the things that they can do to learn about God and what he wants them to be doing with their life? You mentioned teachers. That's number one, definitely. People would have to be taught, not just spoken to, but they would actually have to be taught how to get into the Word of God, because of what does God want you to do is right there. It's in his Word. So these people, besides waiting around for a knock on the door, what are some of the things that a person can do to show God that they really want to hear from him? They really want to obey him. They really want to know, well, what are you talking about, God? I get up, I'm eating, I go back to bed. What are some of the things that we can do on an individual basis to find out what God wants us to do with our life?
We can pray to God for an answer, have a talk with God, search for God through prayer, calling upon him, asking him to manifest his presence in our lives and teach and show us what it is he wants us to do. Sometimes he'll send a person to you. Sometimes he'll give you a revelation through our minds from the scriptures, the Bibles, and the Bible and so forth and so on. And other times he would just send us to a certain place, church, or we can turn on television, or we can go on, those who have internet can go on the internet or television. There are spiritual programming on television where the Bible is being taught to people, and so there are resources, but we have to seek him in prayer, and then he will reveal directions that he has for us in our lives. We have to have a talk with him. We talk with each other. Why not have a talk with the true and living God, who is the creator, Jehovah?
Oh, my God. You hit it on the nail. That is right. Go to God. If a person wants to find out what God wants them to do with their life, yes, they can. And if they don't even know the scripture, open the Bible up to Genesis 1:1. It says he created the heaven and the earth. Then a person can say, oh, well, you know, if I'm on the earth, that means me too. What should I be doing? And then there's the mighty worldwide global internet. If they just type in, what does God want me to do in my life? Oh, my God, all kind of things, you know, it's going to come up. It's going to leave your head spinning. But the main thing, and I know this is where you were going, so don't say that I'm stealing your thunder. The Bible says that we are to love our Lord God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and our being. So if we are admonished to love God, then we need to show God some loving acts that are coming out of our life. I'm doing good to those in my family. I'm going to my worship services, whether they're wrong or right. I'm sitting there, oh, God, hold me, help me, get me out of here if it's wrong. And then, we could go on with that. But since God has said, oh, you know what, this is what I want you to do. I want you to love me. So if you love God, you're going to obey God. What are some of the ways we can obey God? Even if a person hasn't read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, just looking at the human body, how can we use our body to live for God? Show him that we are on his side. We're begging him through prayer and every other means. It's time to, you know, switch that reel.
In obeying God, our bodies, the Bible says, is the temple of God. So we have to take care of the temple of God, which is our fleshly bodies. So we watch what we eat, our diet, watch to what quantity that we eat, and the type of foods that we eat. We begin with that because we have to take care of that which is part of the kingdom of God and which God has given to us. And so our bodies really is a vessel for God, but we have to take care of it. With automobiles, we take them and get them serviced and all the filter change and tune up and all of that. So we have to do the same with the fleshly body. In addition, we have to feed our minds. We have to feed our minds with the holy words of God, which gives us instructions, and it help us to not only better take care of our bodies and ourselves, but it make us more willing to learn what we need to know about God and taking care of ourselves, but also how to go and teach others how to take care of themselves and their bodies, what God wants them to do so they can live a better quality life and live a longer life.
Well, that most certainly is true because, you know, when it used to be a time when a person was in elementary school or even I think junior high, there was a home economics class and there was a health class and there was a PE. The minor man knew that if a person does not learn how, you know, to take a daily bath, some still don't, you know, these days, take a daily bath and groom themselves and make sure their hair is combed, make sure their teeth is brushed, and they would show you how. In school, when a person got up to go to school, that was one of the prerequisites that they had to have, one on health, because the educators found out if a person isn't well-groomed and he's not clean, cleansed, there might be a problem with him learning. But now we don't see that. I haven't heard of a health class in an elementary or junior high since I left, and that was years ago. So, yes, that's one thing. You're not going to be able to do anything positive with your life if you're not taking care of the body that you're within that would be used to fuel your efforts. Another thing that God wants us to do with our life is to make sure that, number one, we put him first. Once we learn about God, once we come into a realization that there's God and God alone, that is what God requires us to do. Even in scripture says, come and learn of me. So God wants us first and foremost to put him first in everything we do. I'm going to the market. Okay, I'm going to pray. Oh, God, get me there safe. Oh, Lord, protect me. Stand by me. You know, some of our religious songs are always talking about things that we should be doing for God, and in the hymn knows what God is going to do for us, but this thing is a two-way street. So let's talk a little bit more about what does God want us to do with our life. Now, once we get into our right mind, once we get all cleaned up, and that's after we've called out to God in prayer, God wants us to do something that is very important. glorify his name, worship him in a sanctuary of holiness. That is how we get built up. That is how you become strong in the word of God. You're hearing it. That's how your faith gets stronger, because good faith comes by hearing the word of God. So the testimony to the world is that you see her over there. You see him over there. These are people that are following God's word. They're following what God has asked them to do. And we can't leave out God's son. Uh-oh, the one that came down through 42-plus generations to save a wretch like me, went all the way up to Golgotha. He hung, he bled, he died, and then God risen. It doesn't take all day long to open the Bible up and read that. And remember, Bible says faith is not the possession of all people. So first and foremost, this great God, this creative God, this God like none other, he wants to be worshiped and glorified. Colonel, how does a person worship God? You know, I see some hands up. How would a person worship? Yes, I want to find out what God wants me to do with my life, and I know that's part of it. But when we say God wants us as humans to worship him, define worship as you know it as a minister.
We look at worship from two respects. Dr. Capitini, look at worship from a private perspective wherein one can worship God in their homes, whether it's a home, apartment, wherever it is. They can worship God if they have a quiet time, lunch break, whatever, at their job. That's the private worship where we have our private devotions, our private adoration for God. Then there's the public perspective wherein we actually go to a worship center, go to a church and worship God, worship him in spirit and in truth, and just participate in the fellowship of the worship, of the singing of the songs and the reading of scriptures and the testimonies and the preached word and so forth that comes forth. And really we have to be in the presence of God, and I found that the presence of God, meaning that we have to go where God's presence exists. And so there are churches of God without regard to denomination where his presence, the presence of God, meaning the essence of God, the Spirit of God through the Holy Spirit dwells in certain churches and certain sanctuaries. And we go and we join that in fellowship with like-minded Christians, and we can have a tremendous, tremendous spiritual experience that renews us, refreshes us, restores us, and encourages us to become better servants of God and also go and witness to others in the world.
My God, yes, but now, hey, I hear and I see a problem, and I see the hands. What if we already have learned this week that over 42,000 churches have closed down over the last two and a half years. What if a person says, oh, yeah, that sounds good, but my church shut down. I can't walk to my church anymore. Bus services have been interrupted by those rioters and those looters and those that chose to be goaded by none other than Satan to do bodily and a city-building harm. What if there's no church for them to go to? What if they're infirmed, disabled, closed up in their home? Is that the only way that something like that could happen, that they've got to go into church? Some say, well, I can worship God right here in my home. I don't need to go to the church. I can call on the name of God from my bathroom. I don't need to get out of here and burn my gas up and go to church. I can open up my Bible and read my Bible for myself. But keep in mind, we're talking about God and his edicts and what he wants mankind to do. What can we tell a person that feels that the church is no longer relevant, it's no longer necessary, it's no longer open? Is that part of the American problem today?
Yes, that's part of American problem today, absolutely, Doug. But those who are not mobile and handicapped and not able to go to a community church. They can turn on the television. Everybody, I believe every household in America has a television. You can turn to any religious network. You can turn to Daystar. You can turn to TBN. You can turn to Word Network. And you can turn to some of the others that are on there. And those networks have religious programming that will minister to you and will teach you the words and principles and so forth of scriptures in the Bible that will help guide, lead, and direct you and strengthen you to become that which God would have you to be a servant. And so there's radio programming, and you can do it through radio programming. There's streaming on the internet, so there's access. Those don't have internet. I know they have the television, and most households in America, I believe, have radios, and they can tune in that way to the visual and the television and the audio and the radio, and get tuned in to those stations instead of watching some of this other stuff. I don't watch it when I'm here at church, my study at home. I usually have one of the television religious network programming stations on in the background as I'm doing my meditation and sermon preparation and studying to teach.
Oh, well, that sounds great. Some could say, okay, well, that's on you, then you do that. Yes, you have a very good idea. There are other avenues and other channels. And if you hear something that is not right, the Spirit of God is going to move within your spirit and let you know that what he or she just said is not right. Cut that TV off. You're going to get that from God if he knows sincerely you are doing all you can to learn of him. He's going to, as Colonel Harrison mentioned, he's going to guide you to the right teacher. He's going to guide you to the right organization. You know what, there's over, I think someone said 2,000, over 2,000 different religious faiths. Oh my God, that's enough to send me a soaring into outer space just hearing something like that. But what does God want you to do with your life? Number one, he, as Colonel Harrison has said, he wants you to pray. Pray to the Psalm 83:18. God, I wouldn't go to a God that does not have that kind of power. So we've got to go to that God, and he identifies himself, Psalm 83:18, King James Version, as Jehovah. Whether you like it or not, whether you like the name or not, that's his name. He obviously named himself because the Bible says he has no beginning. He had no beginning and no end. That's number one. That God, that is the one. And then number two, once you find that information out about the true God, then, okay, what would he have me to do? Well, number one, before you run out there and give alms and talk about feeding the poor and talking about driving somebody to the hospital, first and foremost, we mentioned the prayer. God wants us to worship him. He wants us to praise him. He wants to be thanked for things seen and unseen. And most of all, he wants us to love him. I sure would love a God that thought enough of me to give me life and have me walking to and fro in the earth. Yes, that's not a hard person not to love. So God, in his infinity, in his great works under heaven and on earth, he wants us to love him. We're going to close out for part four of this next week. What does God want me to do with my life? So come with your pen and pen, because we're going to sum up part one, part two, and today, so that you will have a blueprint, so you won't wander around talking about Satan made me do it. I heard the voice of Satan. Yeah, I know Satan wants to be worshipped too. We're going to get all the way down. Hallelujah. Thank you for tuning in. Praise God in the highest. It is he and he alone that we worship. Have a great weekend. And remember, if God hasn't said it, it hasn't been said. See you next week.